You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, July 31st. A lot going on in the world, assassinations, Olympics, elections, and we're moving right along. Beautiful day in LA. It's not too hot today. And we're here in the studio with a returning guest, Mr. Avner Madar. Welcome to the show, Avner.
Thank you so much, Sam. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. And Avner, you're a teacher of the Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, and which has become very relevant to people in modern times now, right? More people are studying it now than
yes,
ever before.
Absolutely. You know, Kabbalah is an ancient spiritual wisdom.
Okay.
And basically, it reveals the secrets, the spiritual laws of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So once we understand the spiritual laws of the universe, we can manage our lives. We can achieve more control.
Mm.
We can really draw more blessings, more light, more fulfillment. And because that it is universal, so it's not a Jewish mysticism. It's actually, it belongs to all mankind.
I see. Okay. But it started in Judaism, let's
yes,
say that.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And a lot of the sources are in Hebrew or Aramaic, and it is very ancient, obviously, but very powerful, and there's some things we'll never understand about it, right? It's just so deep.
Yeah, it goes deep, but the way that we teach at the Kabbalah Center, we are making it simple and practical. Because if it's not practical, what's the point of learning it?
Right.
If it's not relevant to my life today, to my relationship, to my work, to my family, children, soulmate,
right,
my health condition, right? I want to be healthy. I want to be excited. So we are teaching and sharing those tools. And so people can take and practice and see if it works.
I see. Well, that makes sense, you know. For those of you who didn't listen to the show from last week when Avner was here, we'll just define a few terms so people understand. My knowledge of it is not as deep as Avner's, but I did study some of it. And so I kind of speak the language, you know. But there are some concepts that we need to understand. One of them is the light. So explain to us, when we talk about the light, what are we talking about?
Yeah, the light actually is a name that the Kabbalists gave to the Creator, to the higher power, if we want to say it, right? Why light? Because the Kabbalists knew that within one ray, one white ray of light,
mm-hmm,
right, exist all the colors of the spectrum.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So they knew that the light force of the Creator contains all the different levels of fulfillment.
Right.
Abundance, sustenance, happiness, healing, mm-hmm, everything. Even to attract the right people into my life, to attract the right thoughts into my mind. Everything comes from the light. So they call the Creator light. Aya or Elyon Pashut Memale Kol HaMetziut. Everything was filled up with the light force of the Creator. And second reason is that the Kabbalists knew that if you want to remove darkness, all what you need to do is to turn on the light.
Right.
That's it. Right. Once the light is coming in, darkness must disappear. So
right,
if someone is going through some darkness, challenges, pain, you know, the only way to remove it is by turning on the light.
Mm.
And again, turning on the light in Kabbalah, it means to elevate my consciousness, to allow the light to come in.
Right.
Of course, I need to take some physical actions, but that's only the small part. The big part of it is to really to allow the light to come in. And of course, we have special techniques and special tools, Kabbalistic tools, so people can manifest it practically every day.
I see. What are some of the tools, for example? How do we manifest the light in our life? I mean, obviously, darkness is the absence of light, and so light solves the problem. And again, we're talking about spiritual light, which is different from physical light, but we explain it in similar terms so we can understand it.
Absolutely. So in general, again, we can go deeper, but the essence of the light is one of sharing. The light force, the definition of the Creator, is an infinite force of giving and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So darkness, if darkness is the opposite, darkness is all about I want to receive,
mm-hmm,
right? Which is fine. It's okay to receive. The question is, why do you want to receive? Do you want to receive just for, you know, just to keep it for yourself, or you want to receive so you can share more? Right. So if my consciousness is more towards being selfish, and for example, I have some anger issues, I'm judging other people, I'm too greedy, I'm too much right now into myself, and I cannot really be sensitive towards others. I'm causing pain to other people. So then I become disconnected from the light. Okay? So if I want to become closer to the light, I need to transform. I need to change the way that I behave. So I need to transform my selfishness, my ego. We call it the ego because the ego is just a general name that includes anger, judgment, low self-esteem, because everything is under the category of ego, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the negative ego.
Right.
So if I can diminish my ego by, again, elevating my consciousness, knowing, you know, just like I'm not going to put my finger into the socket, so I'm not going to act in a selfish way today. If I have a choice, no. I will let that person, you know, go ahead of me. I'm not going to curse the driver because, you know, okay, he was making a mistake, but I want to attract and to draw more light into my life, right?
Right, yeah.
And if I'm getting upset, I'm not going to, you know, to scream or to put down the other person because I know by doing so,
You're hurting yourself.
I'm going to hurt myself,
right.
Exactly. So now my consciousness become, you know, more developed. I'm elevating my consciousness. And the bottom line is that you need to elevate your consciousness every day.
Right.
Because the darkness, if the opponent, you know, the negative, that negative energy wants to tell you always, every day, no, go back to your selfishness. Go right. back to anger. Go back to be lonely. Go back to be miserable. And mm-hmm. and that's not the essence of life.
Right.
And so once we are learning the spiritual laws of the universe, we can definitely, you know, bring more light and remove the darkness
right.
away from our life.
Yeah. And definitely, you know, selfishness and negativity, it's like, you know, resentment is like taking your own poison, you know, because the other person probably doesn't know how you feel. They don't know what you think, but you're suffering here within yourself, you know. And that works with a lot of different things, with hatred, you know, with all kinds of things that have to do with relationships with other people, you know. And so I see what you're saying, because it feels good to give back to other people, you know, to buy a gift to someone, you know, or to do something for someone you love, even for strangers, you know. It feels good, and I can see why that would improve the way you think about yourself, you know, and
definitely.
And the way you think about the world, you know.
Right. However, if I'm not being aware of my ego when I give, so then the giving can really, you know, grow my ego. Like, I'm a good person, I'm a nice person, I'm a spiritual. I have a lot of ego. A lot
right.
of spiritual leaders, they have a huge ego. A lot of even spiritual people have ego.
Right.
Okay? So what's the point of being spiritual and having a lot of ego? It means that you're not spiritual at all.
Mm.
Not at all, but again, I hope that you understand what I'm saying. So if I'm not being aware of my ego,
right.
I can give all day long, and I'm not really growing
mm-hmm.
because the energy goes towards my ego, okay? And then I'll be upset when people are not, you know, respecting me, or I didn't get my recognition, I didn't get my approval. No, I'm doing it because I want more light, the light force of the Creator. I need it right now in my life.
Right.
So when I give, I feel that I am I'm actually the one that is receiving.
Right.
You know, when I give, when I share something, I'm not doing it, I'm an amazing person, I'm a good person. All what I want to do is to share. Yeah, it's fine, but it's very limited.
Right.
What I want to do is really to become like the Creator.
Right.
And to awaken and to bring that light into my life. And that's
right.
the most important thing.
So many people would ask, you know, what's the meaning of life? Why were we created in the first place? The universe, us. What's the answer to that?
Well, yeah, it's written in the study known to the Kabbalist as the 10 luminous emanations.
Uh-huh.
And this study is all about the reality that was created before the creation of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The reality before Adam and Eve, before the Big Bang. So there was only light, as I mentioned before, and the light created a vessel. Vessel means desire to receive. And that was, of course, a spiritual vessel. Mm-hmm. And that spiritual vessel was actually able to receive the totality of the light, endless fulfillment, that the vessel was actually saying, yes, I want. Now, at a certain point, again, there is no time, space, and motion, but let's just, you know, try to imagine what happened there. The vessel wanted to become like the creator, mm-hmm. right? Imagine that if parents are giving, money and gifts to their child. At a certain point, the child wants to say, father, mother, I love both of you, but I want to become my own. I want to become a successful business person on my own.
Right.
And I don't want to receive your gifts, and I want to create my fulfillment on my own. And that's exactly what happened. In the endless, the vessel said to the light, I want to become like you, creator. I want to be able to give. I want to be able to share. Mm-hmm. And the vessel, of course, couldn't share with the creator because the creator, the light, doesn't have any desire to receive.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so therefore, the vessel was asking from the light, please stop your sharing, okay? Mm-hmm. And let's create a new reality so I can become like you. I can become like the creator.
Right.
And immediately the creator become concealed. The light become concealed, and many, many layers of concealment were created, and now we live in the physical realm, mm-hmm. and our purpose is to reveal the light through the darkness. Mm-hmm. Light can be revealed only through darkness.
Right, yeah. Makes sense, you know. And it's concepts that are not easy to understand.
Not easy at all, for
most people. And that's why you have to study this for many years to really understand what's going on there, you know. But.
But we have designed a course for 10 weeks, mm-hmm. that you can really get all the foundation of Kabbalah, all mm-hmm. the foundation, all the spiritual laws of the universe. And what's the beauty of it is that after one session, you already feel mm-hmm. much better about who you are, about your life. Why? Yeah. Because through the study, you are revealing so much light,
right.
And somehow you wake up in the morning with greater joy and happiness.
Right, and a new understanding of how things work, you know. And, not to put down psychology and all that stuff, but this is more on a spiritual level, you know.
Absolutely.
This is to understand the bigger picture.
Yes.
And how it affects us and everything.
Right.
So, the book that the Kabbalists follow and read is the Zohar.
Yes.
Right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, the main text in Kabbalah, it's called Zohar, or the Book of Splendor. It was written about 2,000 years ago by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Zohar is so profound. Why? Because the light that become concealed, as I mentioned before, the Creator still wanted to give it to all mankind. So he chose the soul of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is the reincarnation, is the reincarnation of Moses.
Right.
And he told Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, take all this concealed light mm-hmm. and reveal it in the book of the Zohar.
Right.
So now all the concealment now become revealed through the book of the Zohar. So whoever is reading the Zohar, or whoever is even scanning the letters, because the eye is the window of the soul. And if you scan the letters, you are connected to what we call the concealed light, which is the answers, the solutions, the guidance, the wisdom, the abundance, the joy and the happiness that you need right now in your life exist within this energy of the light of the Zohar.
Right. Now, what about people that can't read Hebrew or Aramaic?
As I mentioned, yes. So your eyes are the window of the soul. Yeah. And plus, we have the English translation. So you can read, you can scan it. Scan it, meaning again, just like, you know, when you go to the store and you purchase anything, right? You have the barcode. So now you go and the guy is scanning the barcode, and now he knows the cost, the information about the product. The same way our eyes mm-hmm. knows the light, knows, you know, my limitless potential. I know it, but mm-hmm. it's being concealed. Mm-hmm. So now by scanning with my eyes the book of the Zohar, mm-hmm. I can really draw all this concealed light and mm-hmm. bring it into my soul, bring it into my consciousness.
Right.
So immediately once you read the Zohar, you feel that your consciousness is being elevated, even if you don't understand it.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to be Jewish to study this
Absolutely
stuff, right?
Not.
There's
not.
A lot of people that are not Jewish. Like, I mean, way back when, I remember Madonna and Roseanne Barr and all them were studying this, and it kind of made it more known to people. And but it's something that it's not really talked about all the time. You know, it's like you have to study this and to understand it, you know. So.
Right, right. And it, as I mentioned before, it is universal. It belongs to all mankind. So mm-hmm. non-Jewish, Jewish, just come and study.
Doesn't matter.
Learn it. Doesn't yeah. matter because it's all about being kind, kindness, mm-hmm. love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, learning the laws of kindness mm-hmm. and practice it. Learning the laws of sharing and caring for others and right. practice it. So you will get all the benefits. So it doesn't really matter if you're Jewish or Christian or any other religion. It doesn't really matter.
Right. Now, give us some examples of how studying this and teaching it has changed your life.
Absolutely.
You got into it many years ago.
Yeah, I would say about 30 plus years ago.
Do you remember what you were like before that?
Yes, I was. You know, I was a very nice guy, very nice mm-hmm. person, and but used to get upset about so many things, right, in my life, and didn't really understand that, you know, the laws of cause and effect. So I would become very upset very easy, and didn't understand what relationship is all about. I didn't really believe that relationship can last. I would say that I thought that love and relationship is something that is not realistic. Mm. Okay, I didn't believe in it, and I believed in the laws of if someone is causing you pain, go and hurt the other person.
Right.
The same way like nation to nation. If that nation is hurting you, so go and fight against them.
Right, retaliate.
Exactly. And once I started to study, I realized, you know, that there is a much better way. Mm. You know, that the light is prepared for us. Everything is being prepared for us, you know, mm-hmm. peace and unity. If we can just elevate our consciousness. So I started to become more kind, more investing my time towards sharing, and I realized that I become happier and more excited. And right. I realized that I wake up in the morning with so much joy for no reason. And my day will become like more, you know, fulfilled
right.
and energized. And I become even stronger physically, right? Mm. So I felt it because I felt that I'm, you know, I'm connecting with the light. And I felt the joy of life, the
right.
joy, the happiness. You know, many times happiness comes from vacations or from purchasing something or from, you know, having a nice dinner with your soulmate. But what happened the next day mm-hmm. when you are not with your soulmate? What happened the next day when the vacation already it's end? That's it. And
right.
many times people cannot even enjoy the vacation because, mm-hmm. you know, they're not, you know, they don't have that peaceful mind, right?
Right.
So by learning Kabbalah, I could really start to enjoy my life
yeah.
and bring more happiness. And then I realized that I can inspire mm-hmm. and give guidance, not for my ego, but really become like a channel or pure. Channel is not, maybe it's not the right word, but I would have a greater desire to be there for others.
Yeah,
to be there when someone needed me, I would never say no. I would
yeah.
always realize, well, if that person is asking for my help, I need to be there. I would always ask. There is a reason why this person is calling me or asking me for something, and also why am I seeing it? If I see something good or bad, there is a reason for that. I would ask it, and then I would get clarity. Mm. I started to learn the interpretation of my dreams.
Mm.
I got so many messages. Then I started to learn, you know, how to recognize the different aspect of a personality mm-hmm. of every person by looking at the face of the person. Because
right.
it's written in the Zohar, right?
Right?
The eye, the nose, the mouth. So I started really to achieve, you know, greater control in a positive way. And I said, you know, I want to use it only for the sake of sharing.
Right.
And that's what I do until today. We are teaching Kabbalah globally, all over the world.
Right. And it can't be bad. I mean, you're teaching positive things, you know. And I can see also when you're giving and you're loving and you're, you know, full of joy, that people would be attracted to you, you know.
Definitely.
And because people appreciate that, you know. They prefer that to selfish people, you know, to angry people, jealous people, you know. So I can see how that can improve one's life in many ways, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know?
Because think about children, right? The children, they want more light in their lives. Mm-hmm. So it's not just giving them education. Education, great. Food is great. Shelter is great. Even the love that I give is limited, because if I am going through a lot of, you know, challenges, how can I bring light into my children right now? Because I'm so confused right now. I cannot even be a channel. But if I have peace of mind, I'm connected with the light, and I bring that light naturally to my home, so my children will become more calm, will become more, you know, more spiritual,
right.
and will act also with kindness towards their friends.
Right.
So the parents, you know, are in charge of everything in the family. It's
right.
not the children. You can never blame a child. Never blame a child, because you are the cause and the child is only the effect.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you know, let's say it's easy to forgive some people for some things they do to you. But what about when someone really commits violence against you or your family? How do you react in that way? You know, I mean, they hurt somebody you love, you know, or you, and really make you stumble. How do you react to that? Do you still react with love and giving and stuff?
No, there are two aspects. One aspect is if you need to go again to the police, or if you need to take a lawyer, absolutely, yes, you need to be protected. Protect yourself, protect your family, definitely. We are not here to say, yeah, you know, it happened, so if he was hurting me, yeah, let him hurt me again. No, we are saying you need to be protected, protect yourself, and stay away from that person if that's also necessary.
Right.
However, if you're not asking yourself, why is it in my movie? So you will never learn the lesson. There is a lesson that person is a messenger that came to teach you something. Again, no, it's not my fault. Yeah, it's not your fault, but spiritually talking, you are being stuck somewhere, and the universe wants you to open up your heart, wants you to transform, you know, wants you to change. So sometimes the universe might send a challenge, a painful challenge. Because it will never start with a painful challenge. It will always start with a small challenge, medium challenge, and then, you know, painful challenge.
Right.
So if I don't recognize the small challenge and say, you know, I need to change, I need to elevate my consciousness, I need to be more kind, and if I'm not doing it, then a greater challenge and a greater, and then a painful challenge. So if I'm not asking, okay, what happened? What happened? Why this person came to my life? And then I realize that I was wasting so much time. Mm-hmm. And I was wasting my gifts that the light gave me. I was wasting so much money and time and energy for really not really achieving my purpose, not living my potential. And so that person is coming to shake me up. You know, so he shook me up to say, wow, one second, what life is all about, right? And then by asking the right questions, I can receive the right answers and then move forward. And then, of course, I will never treat a person without human dignity. You can go and sue the person and go to the lawyer, but with human dignity. I'm not going to hate that person. I'm not going to hurt the person for no reason. You know, I'm asking, you know, to be protected, and I want to get what I deserve to get, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to be like, yeah, Mr. Nice Guy, it's okay. And I'm not going to be a mean person. I will never hurt another human being. Right. Once you are hurting someone, it's the most terrible thing that you can do.
Bring darkness into your life.
You disconnected from the light, because the light will never hurt any human being. So you need to do whatever it takes, and sometimes to say goodbye. I don't want to live with you anymore. It's fine. But I respect you, and I wish you all the best. And now I want to, you know, to spend my life with people that can, you know, that can elevate my consciousness, not people that can drain my energy.
Right.
So we can do everything, but still with human dignity.
Right.
As my teacher, Rav Berg, used to say, human dignity. Mm-hmm. It's all about human dignity.
Yeah. Makes sense, you know. I wanted to ask you, you know, we talk about, us as human beings is the world as though the world revolves around us, you know. But there's a whole universe out there, you know. I mean, million light years away, you have planets, you have how does that all relate to us? I mean, if all of this was created for us, why do we need such a huge universe?
That's a good question. Number one, because we are limitless. Your soul is limitless. So the universe is endless, right? You are endless, the same. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, we don't really understand the big picture. We don't see it. But, you know, right now there is a butterfly in China that is influencing the weather in Los Angeles. How? We don't see it. We don't see the connection between the laws of cause and effect. Now, it's only a butterfly, mm-hmm. and scientists know it. But think about your thoughts. If you think a positive thought, think about an action, a good action, or a selfish action. How it can influence the life of so many people around us in Los Angeles, in China, in Ukraine, in so many places, in Israel. So we need to understand that we are part of the endless universe. Number right. one. Number two, I am limitless.
Right.
So it's not like I'm a very small, tiny piece of the. No, you are not small.
Right.
The universe was created for you.
Right.
Meaning that everything, you know, some people might come to your life to elevate your consciousness in a positive way, in a very pleasant way, and some people might come to your life to elevate your consciousness in a painful way. Those people that, you know, that we don't like, that mm-hmm. you know, that hurt you or did something wrong. But nevertheless, everyone in this universe came to help you, you know, to be elevated, to yeah. become closer to your essence.
So you think all these galaxies and planets and stars, they all affect us?
Yeah, of course. Let's think about, you know, the sun, right? We are entering into the month of Leo. Mm. The sun controls the sign of Leo. Leo is Av in Aramaic. So what is the essence of this month? We know that the sun can burn, but the sun can heal, right? The light right. of healing shines from the sun. So the question is, what am I doing? So, you know, on the month of Leo, we have the most negative day and we have the most positive day. The most negative day is the ninth day of Av, the Tisha B'Av.
Mm-hmm.
And the most positive day is the day of love, Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av, of Leo. So you see like a combination. The sun controls this month. Therefore, this month is very intense. Now, intense can be great because I can push myself to do more. Intense can be terrible because I cannot handle it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm very upset. I'm very angry. I'm very reactive, right? So we know that during the month of Leo, you should be very careful not to be reactive.
Yeah.
Every morning to meditate, I'm not going to be reactive because it is a very intense month.
Right.
Why? Because I know the sun controls this month. So you see how by knowing the universe, the planets, I can really change my consciousness, and I can really have a greater awareness about what's going on around me.
Right. Now, with such a huge universe that we can't even fathom how big it is, do you think we're the only living things?
No, the Zohar says that there are many different living things, but it doesn't really matter. It's not about, oh, let's learn about it right now. It's not.
Right.
Because, you know,
we'll never find out, right?
No,
too far.
Yeah, of course. Of course. They're too far. And they have a purpose, but, you know, they have a purpose. But regardless, you know, we are the main, you are the most important person in the world from mm-hmm. the point of view of creation, right? Each one of us is, the world was created for you. So to know about what's going on, about different, different life
right.
That exists in different realms, in different realities, the Zohar talks about it, but it's not really that important because we want to connect to the holy system. The holy system is the system of the light. And how can you connect with it? Sharing, caring, kindness, change your behavior,
right.
overcome your reactive nature. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah. So all of this is up to us, right?
Free will.
Do you see miracles happening also, like things that are not natural that happen to people?
Look, miracle can be something very small, you know, like let's say I'm using a very certain shampoo, right? Very, and it's very unique. And I came to the store and I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. The week after, I said, you know, Light, I really want my shampoo. I don't have it. It's like, I really need it. Mm-hmm. I went to the store and suddenly I saw the guy. It was in Israel. Mm-hmm. Suddenly I saw the delivery guy came with the box. Mm-hmm. And he opened the box and inside the box, my shampoo was there. Like, he came to deliver it from the manufacturer. Yeah. And I said, thank you, God. I took the shampoo and I said, wow. Exactly right on time. When I walked into the store, the guy came and opened the box, right. And my shampoo was there. So is that a miracle? Yes, because, you know, something that wow, such of synchronicity, right? But a miracle can be also someone is driving, right? He's driving the car and God forbid an accident and he was protected, mm-hmm. right? So once a student came to my teacher, Rav Berg, and he said, you know, an amazing, great miracle happened to me. He drove on the freeway and the car, he was involved in a terrible car accident and nothing happened to him.
Survived.
He was protected totally, nothing. He came out complete, nothing happened to him. So what was the answer of my teacher? My teacher, Rav Berg, said, I had a greater miracle than you. He said, what? He said, I drove on the freeway and nothing happened.
Yeah.
So the greater miracle, look, we are experiencing miracles every day. We are not even aware of it. Mm. When you go on the freeway and you know you're safe and you know you came home and you woke up in the morning, that's first of all a great miracle.
Right.
But greater miracles can happen when you push yourself to get outside of your comfort zone. Mm. If you're pushing yourself to go outside of your comfort zone in business, in life, with your family, with your wife, with your husband, you know, to get outside of your comfort zone, to share more, to care more, to initiate more, something positive, then you can awaken the realm of miracles and wonders, and miracles will happen to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I mean, I often feel like very quote-unquote lucky about things that happen or don't happen in my life, you know.
Do you need right now any miracle in your life? Do you want any
Do I
miracle?
Need miracles yes, in yes. my life?
Right now.
I'll have to think about it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I think everything that... I'm grateful to all that I have, you know. I've accomplished that in my life. And still sometimes, you know, I have those doubts and, you know, why don't I have more, you know, and all that stuff. But I realized, you know, it's a waste of time to look at what other people have, what other people do. You know, it's their own journey. It has nothing to do with me. And if in my script, in my journey, I'm not supposed to have a lot of money, then I won't. You know, it just, that's kind of like my journey.
Right.
Right. And, and some people are, I guess their journey is to come here, make a lot of money, have this or that.
No, definitely.
And then money is not the only success, you know. I mean, if you have money and you're not healthy, then you're poor, you know, you don't have what it takes.
For sure.
You can't enjoy it, you know.
For sure.
So I think every day you wake up healthy in the morning, that's a miracle.
Absolutely.
You know,
wake up healthy in the morning, it is a big, huge miracle. And we need to appreciate our lives. We need to appreciate our health. And if there is something that we need to change, start to work on it. Start, really. How? By, you know, you can study Kabbalah. You can use some practical tools. The most important part is to understand that any form of this, you know, of illness is another form of disconnection from the light.
Right.
So I need to transform the way that I behave.
Right.
Be more kind. Be more open to others. Serve others. Right. And you will see miracles and wonders.
Yeah.
So, about anything else that you want to achieve in your life, everything is up to your desire. Mm. So Kabbalah came from the word lekabel, which means to receive. To receive what? To receive everything. Everything, not just the spiritual and not just the physical. To live life that I can combine the physical and the spiritual as well. And if you want more money, if a person wants more money, all the gates are open.
Right.
Because if you say, I want, oh, the light will send you.
Right.
Send you another place, another person, another opportunity to make more money. The question is, do you really want it?
Right.
Most of the time, the answer is no, I don't really want it, because for me, it's enough to, you know, this amount of money.
Right.
And I want to have peace of mind. Fine, it's okay. Some people have a greater desire. They can achieve more. It's not because that it's not like they have a better luck. It's not about good luck, bad luck.
Right.
Desire, you know, huge desire versus small desire.
Right. So it's up to your actions as far as to how you're going to do in life. You know?
Absolutely.
It's
absolutely.
Just like, it reminds me of this joke where this man, constantly complained to God, how come I never win the lottery? You know, let me win the lottery. Yeah. And he kept repeating this. And then God reveals himself to him one day and he says, will you meet me halfway and buy a ticket? You know?
That's a good one.
If you want the light, you got to reach for it. You know?
Absolutely.
You got to be prepared to get it, you know?
Yes. We are partners with the light. You know, you need to do half and the light will do the other half.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting stuff, you know? I mean, it's... it shows you that, you know, and you know, about the giving and everything, some people find it hard to be like open and giving to strangers, but it's like start with the people close to you, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we mistreat a lot of the people around us too, you know, that we know. Yeah. So you might as well start with them and then you get to practice, you know, and you realize how great it makes you feel and how better your life becomes. And then you can treat strangers in the same way.
Why do you think that the purpose of having a family, the Zohar says, the only purpose of having, you know, a relationship and a family is to teach you how to become a being of sharing. You need to take care of your wife or your husband, your children. It's not because that God wants you to have, you know, family, of course, love and everything. But number one, learn how to become a being of sharing. Learn how to consider others and how to be more sensitive towards your wife, your husband, and come from always with the consciousness of sharing. So as you mentioned, Sam, start by practicing it with the close people, with your family.
Right. Yeah. That's what you got to do, man. It's not too complicated.
No, it's not. It's actually, sometimes it can be very complicated, right?
Yeah.
Because we have a tendency to blame and to see what's wrong with the other person. We don't realize that it is just a reflection of us, and I need to transform. I need to change.
Right.
And we need to take a greater responsibility over our family.
Right. And I can tell you guys that, you know, I mean, I went through this for about a year. I experienced this. I went to study it and everything. And I felt my life improved quite a bit, you know. Sometimes I felt like I was walking on air, you know. It's like I had the answers for everything.
Wow.
And it was a good feeling, you know. I mean, I felt like I didn't want to hurt anyone. I couldn't hurt anyone, you know. I was more understanding of what was happening to me, of why people do the things that they do, you know. So I highly recommend this. So you teach this regularly, right?
Yeah.
Your wife does too?
Absolutely. My wife is a teacher. Her name is Rachel. And we both teach at the Kabbalah Center in Los Angeles.
Right.
You can reach us through Kabbalah.com. And again, spelling Kabbalah is K-A-B-B, double B. Remember, K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H.com, Kabbalah.com.
Right.
You can find out about different classes globally, not just in Los Angeles, not just in the United States, but globally. We have different centers globally, all over the world.
In different languages.
We have books in so many languages. Mm. You can read in Spanish. You can read in even in Chinese. You can read it in English. You can read it in Hebrew. In any language that you might want. Kabbalah is being published in so many languages.
Right. And I love the books too. You know, I read like all of them.
It is so inspiring. You can read it. You can read the same page every morning and you will feel that you are being inspired.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's written in layman language. It's not like reading the Zohar or anything. The books make it more palatable for laymen, for people like us, you know, where we can understand. Often it explains things in scientific ways, you know, in ways that we can understand easier. And that's why I like it, you know. It's sort of like it explains everything around us, you know. It explains the world in a way that's convincing to me.
Definitely. You know, it is very profound. It goes very deep, but at the same time, keep it very, very simple and practical.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah, that's what the Kabbalah Center is all about.
Yeah. Let's learn a little bit about you, for those of you who didn't listen last time. You're originally from Israel, like me.
Yes, yes.
How long have you studied the Kabbalah now?
Yes, I came actually to the state, to Los Angeles, when I was 25 years old, so it's about 31 years ago. Mm-hmm. And a good friend of mine came to visit, and we to have fun and to travel. And then he was telling me, you know, there is a Kabbalah center in Los Angeles. Let's go and listen. I was in shock. What are you talking about? What Kabbalah? You know, I'm 25 years old. Well, you know, I don't need to study it. So anyway, he was pushing and pushing. And then finally we went to the introductory lecture here in Encino. And so I was very, you know, like curious about it. And I decided really to continue the study. At the beginning, it was just to go to have some fun. And then I have decided to really to take it seriously. My friends say, you know, it's not for me. Kabbalah is not for me. And
really, he moved on, but you called.
He moved on, and he said, "Yeah, I'm going to go now to Brazil, to the Far East." I said, "No. I'll stay in LA. I want to study."
Oh, wow!
I was very connected.
Yeah.
And you know, to make a long story short, I have decided to become one of the teachers. You know, to go and to study how to become a teacher. So it took me a few years, and I became a teacher at the Kabbalah Center. And then I was at one of the intro lectures that I gave. You know, a beautiful woman came and I looked at her and I went to talk to her after the lecture and now she's my wife. So.
Oh, wow, congratulations. So
yes,
there's no coincidence.
We met at the
right?
Kabbalah Center, no.
Yeah.
And she became a teacher as well. And so being a teacher at the Kabbalah Center, it means that you need to be an example. You cannot teach something and then go and behave in a different way because it doesn't work, because you work with the light. It's not like you work with your boss that you can cheat. Say, you know, if you're around your boss, you can be a very nice person, do like everything. When you're not around your boss, you can do whatever you want and behave, you know, like in a very negative way. No, the light is with you all the time. You cannot teach something and then be selfish. And of course, I'm not perfect. I see that I'm being selfish sometimes. I see that I'm falling and I say, whoa, I need to elevate. I need to be aware. I cannot behave like that. You know, it's like if I'm supposed to be a channel of light, I need to definitely change and transform the way that I behave.
Right.
So it takes a lot of effort, a lot of work to be like with the consciousness of, you know, good morning, I'm here to serve you. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not here to, you know, to be your guru or mentor. I'm here to serve you. Tell me, what do you need? Let me share with you the wisdom and the tools of Kabbalah and you practice it and come back to me and tell me if it works.
Right, yeah. I find that the Kabbalah pretty much explains, you know, you read the Bible, there's a lot of things that are hard to understand and everything. I think the Kabbalah explains like the why we do things that we do, like the rituals, like eat kosher and observe Shabbat and things like that. Is that true? I mean, it explains a lot of what we read in the Bible and we don't understand.
Right. Rabbi Isaac Luria was a great Kabbalist who lived in Tzefat in Israel about 500 years ago. And he wrote all the why. Why Shabbat? Why kosher? Why, you know, all of those actions that we do. And if you don't understand the why, it becomes religion.
Right.
Religion is like, I do it.
You follow it blindly.
Yeah, following, yeah. Kosher, yeah, of course. My father kept kosher, my grandfather. So I'm following it.
Right.
But if you don't understand why, it is almost as you are doing really nothing because you are not connected with the energy,
right?
With the light that actually is being concealed within that action. Now you need to reveal it.
Right.
So you just keep Shabbat and you don't understand what's the purpose of Shabbat. So for example, the purpose of Shabbat is to awaken the light within you. Is to help you to become more kind, is to help you to be more proactive during the week and to draw the light of healing. If you're not being aware of it, you're not going to connect with it. So you can keep Shabbat and then by the end of Shabbat, you are going to become a very selfish person.
Right.
And talk bad, right? And let's say keeping kosher. Kosher, it's like, what am I eating? Should be only kosher. Mm-hmm. So I keep kosher. And I need to be very careful with eating only kosher and like glut kosher. So I eat it and I don't understand why kosher. And
exactly.
Then I go and I talk bad about another person. Mm-hmm. So it's more important to me what I'm putting in my mouth than what I, you know, what goes out of my mouth. That's my teacher, Karen Berg, used to say.
Yeah.
So what's the point of having a religion, of being religious, if you're not really, if you don't really change, if you're not really growing?
It's the intention.
It's the intention, absolutely. Right. And like, then the religion can really, you know, religion is fine, but if there is no spirituality, if your intention is not in the right place, then you can do so many actions, but stay stuck where you are and stay selfish. You know, the same person that you were 10 years ago, you're still the same.
Right.
And that's very, very, you know, like it's a waste of time.
And that's why a lot of people are alienated by religion. You know, they can't relate to it in all religions, you know. Whereas you feel that you must practice it, and you know, because you're afraid, or you know, you fear God, or whatever, you know, or because people told you, or in church or whatever, in synagogue, that you should be doing these things, you know. But you become very, I think, disillusioned with all of this stuff if you don't understand why you're doing it, you know. And people want to understand, you know, because some of these things are kind of unusual or curious, you know. Why can't I eat pork? You know, why can't I eat this? Why can't I eat that? You know, there's got to be some meaning to this. And, I mean, even in Judaism, there's a lot of Orthodox people that that leave the religion because they're disillusioned. They don't understand. They feel it's being forced upon them without explaining what's going on, you know.
Right.
So that's why I believe the Kabbalah can help with that. People can understand the intention, you know.
Definitely.
You can prayer come. And everything. You know, people pray and they expect things. They just ask for things all the time, you know, with prayers.
Right.
It's like, do this for me, give me this, give me that. But that's not what prayer is about.
Exactly. Prayer is all about transforming myself, elevating my consciousness. You can really come to one of our Shabbat. You know, Shabbat is the seventh day, Saturday, and see Jewish, non-Jewish people, everyone together, connecting to the spiritual essence, to the light, to the consciousness, to, you know, to the light of sharing.
Right.
And so you feel right away the energy is so powerful.
Right.
Because we are not really focusing on religion. We are focusing on spirituality.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, it's not about religion. It's really about understanding what's going on and not doing things blindly and following whatever people tell you to do. Or any
sure.
book tell you.
That's for sure, because fear can cause a person, you know, rejection.
Right.
I don't want to be afraid if I'm not going to do this, I won't do that, something might happen. No, forget about fear. And that's why we don't tell people what to do and what not to do.
Right.
And we also don't teach, you know, Shabbat, kosher. No, we don't teach it at the Kabbalah Center. We teach the spiritual laws of the universe. Come, practice it. You want to know more about other, you know, something else, come and ask the teacher. He will give you, like, you know, the clarity and the study. But
right.
the purpose is, listen, look at your life right now. Are you happy? Do you wake up with tremendous joy? If not, come, study Kabbalah.
Right.
Study Kabbalah. Don't settle for less.
Right.
I'm not so happy, but life, you know, is okay. No, life shouldn't be okay. Life should be amazing.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want, come and study Kabbalah and learn how to make your life amazing and how to bring tremendous amount of light and blessings into your life by practicing the spiritual laws of the universe.
There you go. And if you guys want to find out everything about it, go to Kabbalah.com. They have introductory courses you can go to and check it out and see what it's all about. Avner, thank you so much
thank
for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sam, for having me. And thank all of you for being with us.
Of course. And if we can take something away from this, it's that we need to be better people. And thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk.